gonna preach from up here where you can see it in the light. We've been doing a series called Your Next Stage Upgrade. And so we talked about upgrading our spirit life. We talked about upgrading our emotional life. And today, I named this Upgrade the Flesh. And Pastor Kathy told me, said, we want the flesh to be downgraded and the spirit to be upgraded. Well, I'm talking about rising above your flesh, all right? But I think we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So last week is very appropriate that we had Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit into the world to stay. And let me tell you, I believe we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome a lot of things, to overcome our flesh, to overcome prejudice, whether it's racial prejudice, gender prejudice, ethnic, nationality, whatever it is, we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome oppression at work. Everybody's got bad days at work sometimes, unless you're retired. And we have plenty of happily retired people, but we want to see you get your next stage upgrade. And today we're going to be talking about our bodies, the flesh. Now, here's the verse we've been using that says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. God's goal for you and me is for you and me to become holy. In other words, He set us apart, and He wants us, it's the process of us becoming more and more like Jesus every single day. And He says this, may your whole spirit, we talked about that, your whole soul or emotions, and then your body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus comes. So today we're going to talk about our bodies a little bit now. I know that I don't have a great moral authority to be talking about taking care of your body. Y'all know I like to eat. Before Christmas, I mentioned I like pecan pie, and y'all baked three of them for me. I mean, it was like, okay. So, Paul said he buffets his body. Some of us buffet our body, all right? But I want you to know, during the virus, I have taken on exercising like a maniac, and Pastor Kathy and I have come up with a new slogan. It's how little can we eat and a meal. So I've lost the COVID 10 or 12, and so I'm wanting to keep going with that, all right? So don't make me a pecan pie right now. But anyway, we're gonna. Does anybody besides me struggle things concerning your body, whether staying in shape or other things? Listen, write this down. If you struggle, you're in good company. Write that down. And while you're writing that, I want to tell you about a guy named Boudreaux who struggled. Now, Boudreaux and Thibodeau were good friends. They out on the bayou. And Boudreaux was baking some cookies one day. Thibodeau came over and said, man, the cookies smell good. And so I'm doing my best Boudreaux accent with a Georgia draw, all right? So them cookies smell good. And Boudreaux said, they are good. So Thibodeau took a bite. He said, man, those cookies are good. And Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they started eating those cookies. And after they'd eaten a whole bunch of cookies, Boudreaux looks at Thibodeau and said, man, we better quit eating these cookies. We're going to get sick. Thibodeau said, yeah, we'll eat this one last cookie, and so we won't get sick. And so they ate that one last cookie. And then while he was reaching for another one, Thibodeau said, man, we better quit eating these cookies. And Boudreaux said, yeah, we'll quit eating those cookies. So Thibodeau said, I know what we'll do. We'll put them in a box. And so they put those cookies in a box. And Boudreaux said, well, we can still get to those cookies and eat them if we want to. So Thibodeau took some string. And he put around that box and he tied a knot in it. Boudreaux said, we can still open that box up. So Thibodeau took it, put it up in the closet. And he said, now it's way up high. Boudreaux said, I can climb that ladder and get those cookies. Boudreaux said, well, we need some willpower. So Thibodeau took that box down, he opened that string up, and he held it outside the window, and he said, birds, come eat these cookies. And all the birds came and ate all the cookies. And Thibodeau said, we don't have no more cookies. Boudreaux said, what? We don't have no more cookies? He said, Thibodeau said, yeah, but we got lots of willpower. Boudreaux said, forget willpower, I'm going to bake some more cookies. All right, that was funnier than y'all laughing. Y'all gotta do better than that. On a serious note, Paul said this. He said, I love God's law with all my heart. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, I love doing what God wants me to do. He said, I love doing what God's. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin. I want you to underline the sin. It makes you a slave to the sin. That could be overeating. That could be meanness. That could be disrespect. That could be prejudice. That could be drug addiction. That could be whatever. Alcohol addiction. It could be smoking addiction. Whatever is controlling you. He said to the sin that is within me. Makes me a slave to it. Then Paul says what we all feel whenever you've messed up. Anybody besides me, you've ever messed up with something and you feel this way. Oh, what a miserable person I am, Paul said. We all feel that way. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? And we know the next line in the scripture is, thank God through Jesus Christ. You know, we're delivered. But every time we lose control of our flesh, whether it's eating or whatever, we feel bad. I mean, you know, we feel bad. So I want us to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to give you three areas that I think we especially need the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And so we need the Holy Spirit's power to overcome righteous down addiction. Now, everybody in this room, I think, would say, well, I'm not struggling with any addiction, or you're watching me on Facebook, you know, I'm not addicted to anything. Here's my definition for you for today of addiction. Addiction is anything you're doing that you wish you weren't and you can't stop. Anything. It could be Bluebell ice cream. I met an addiction counselor one time that was addicted to popcorn. Now, I guess that's better than crack, but he would eat four bags of popcorn at every time. That was his deal. It's like, okay, dude, I'm not sure you need to be the one counseling these people, but you know what I mean? It's anything that you're doing that you don't want to do and you can't stop. It can be pornography. It can be whatever. Some of you can't stop. Paul said this. He said, don't let sin. Don't let overeating. Don't let drugs. Don't let alcohol. Don't let stupidity control the way you live. We don't need to allow anything to control that sin that's working on us. He said, don't give in to sinful desire. Y'all know that's hard when you know that bluebell sitting right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, and I've been working hard, Pastor Kathy had the last of the chocolate-covered Oreos on her desk. I know where it's at. I come over here to work in the afternoon, and I'm going, don't let any part of your body become an instrument to the evil to serve sin. But give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have life. So use your body as an instrument to do what's right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under its requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So let me just say, you may be saying, nothing's dominating me. We don't need to allow anything to dominate us. He says right here, he said, don't let sin control the way you live. I'm going to ask you some questions in a minute. Now, I don't know if it's reflective questions, but the answers to these will let you know whether or not sin is controlling the way you live. For instance, number one, can you go a week without it? Now, you know, y'all know we love Hallmark movies, right? And we went to my mother's, and we went the whole week we were up there with without turning the TV on. It was wonderful. Some people need to get off social media. Some people maybe need to maybe don't take a drink this week or don't smoke a cigarette this week or whatever it is that you would struggle with. Maybe it's eating bluebell, you know, or whatever. Don't. He says, can you go a week without it? Another question might be was, is it leading you into greater isolation? Typically, things that are bad for us are things we sin with, you know, we do by ourselves. You know, we'll do those by ourselves instead of out with friends, you know. I used to tell teenagers all the time, you start out doing drugs with your friends, and then the drug becomes your friend. And you're doing it by yourself. Is whatever you're struggling with leading you to isolation? Number three would be, do you arrange your schedule around? I mean, think about that. All of a sudden, you're doing this thing. You can't go without it for a week. You're isolating. You're getting over by yourself and doing it. And then you begin to arrange your schedule around. Arrange your schedule around. And are you trying to fourth just follows that? Are you trying to keep it secret? Now, if you answered any of those questions, you know, yes, then, except for the first one, you know, you're probably struggling with some stuff. Probably struggling with some stuff. And let me tell you, you're only as sick as your secrets are. And so we've got to understand, we've got to get rid of this. I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a minute. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit so we don't fall into these addictions and everything. We also need the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's your next word. So we don't commit debauchery. I mispronounce that word all the time. Boshery, 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 debauchery. Look what Paul said. He said, don't get drunk on wine, which is bad enough. But then he says, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So in other words, getting drunk on wine is going to lead you to worse stuff. It'll lead you to worse stuff. Or getting high on drugs, or overeating, or watching pornography, or whatever. It's going to lead to worse things. He said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you a definition. Debauchery, write this down. Extreme indulgence in sensuality. Let me tell you something. This can happen to you even if you're not doing something that's terrible. It could be eating. Eating is necessary for life. But if you're just pigging out and gorging yourself all the time, that's not healthy. That becomes extreme indulgence in sensuality. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. You're doing too much of it. You know, don't get into a place where your flesh is calling the shots. That's what's happening. The next area we need the Holy Spirit's power in is sexual immorality. Now this actually went up during the pandemic, from what I read, and so sexual immorality would be any sexual activity outside the covenant of marriage. In the original Greek, the word we translate sexual immorality comes from the word porneia, which we get the word pornography from. And so pornography, there are actually pornography companies in Europe that are giving away, they're giving free access to their websites because they know that pornography is addictive as drugs are. I've seen the CT scan of a cocaine brain, and I've seen the CT scan of somebody hooked on pornography. Pornography brain is as damaged as the cocaine-addicted brain. It's damaging. Addictions are damaging. So pornography, they know if they can get you addicted, they've got you. It desensitizes people to sexual abuse. It desensitizes people to violence. There's more violence in relationship. There's a much higher likelihood of dysfunctional families when there's pornography around. And unfortunately, in our culture, the average age that young people are exposed to pornography is now about 11. It's about 11. The Bible addresses this. He said this. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? My body is part of Christ. He said, should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her. For the scriptures say, two are united into one. That's what marriage is all. But the person who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We're joined to the Lord, we become one spirit. Then he says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And so I always remember the story of Joseph where the Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him and he ran away. I said, why'd he run? Because he's going to mess up if he didn't. You know? And so he says, flee from it. So how do we get back on track? It's easy for us to get off the track in some area of our life. How do we get back on track? Write this down. I am not my own. I'm not my own. Paul said this, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, in the Old Testament, they had the temple. Remember, if you've watched the stories of any of the videos about Jesus' birth and all, you know. You've got John the Baptist's dad goes in. He's one of the priests. He goes in. He's got his little incense in there. God says, you're going to have a baby. He says, not me. I'm too old. And God says, you're not going to talk until the baby's born. But this time next year, you're going to have a baby. You're going to name him John. And the temple is where God lived. They had the Ark of the Covenant in there. And that's where God lived. And so you would go into the temple. But now the temple is us. He says, You know, your own body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God. You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So let's look at some truths out of this verse. Number one, write this down. My body is the place where God lives. You see, God, you know, the Holy Spirit comes, unites with our spirit, but your spirit and God's spirit are now living in your body. My body is where he lives. You know, your body is now the sanctuary. We talk about this building being the church, but the reality is you are the church. I'm the church. Your body is the sanctuary. We talk about this room. Y'all don't have to do things in this sanctuary. And if you think about it, right now we've got one door that somebody could come in. And it's got a guard in front of it and all that. And so we want to, we understand these things, and so you want to limit. So how do you guard your sanctuary? Well, there's a couple of entry points that we need to look at. And so one is you've got to control what your eyes see. Things come in your eyes. Things come in your eyes. Matter of fact, Jesus said this. The eye is the lamp of the body. You've got to control what comes into your sanctuary. And one of the ways it comes in is your eyes. So the images you see. It, you know, some people are messed up by scary movies. Others, you know, by violent movies or action flicks. Others by sexy movies and stuff like that. And so you've got to guard what your eyes see. You know, we tell young men, you know, if you see a beautiful lady, you know, look at her eyes. You know, don't look anywhere else. You know, and so you've got to control what comes in your eyes. I mean, just think about it. So, man, movies and stuff don't bother me. Why do you think Coca-Cola will spend $1 million for 15 seconds in the Super Bowl? Because they, when you see that cold thing, they know you're going to go buy one. You're going to go buy one. What comes in our eyes impacts us. I'll tell you this, I love war movies. I watched We Were Soldiers, We Were Young. I'm ready to go back to Vietnam. Or Black Hawk Down. It's like that's in Vegas, Somalia. They shoot, I mean, you know. It impacts you emotionally. So we've got to watch our eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. What you allow in. Another area that we can control with God's help is our thoughts. Look at this. I mean, if you ever struggled with something and wondered why I can't seem to beat this problem, here's this verse. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature. In other words, I'm dominated by that thing that I can't quit doing. It says this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, circle this word. Think about sinful things. You're dominated by eating. You're always thinking about food. Watching food show. Reading food books. Smelling that good smell. You pass by Burger King. I'll just tell you, it smells better than that. But, you know, you're always thinking about it. Or thinking of other thoughts. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So we've got to change what we think about. We've got to stop thinking about that sin. You know why Teen Challenge is so successful at getting people off of drugs and alcohol addiction? Is they don't focus on the drug and alcohol addiction. They focus on a relationship with Jesus. When you develop the good habits, the good thinking patterns to replace the bad, guess what? The bad will go away, but you've got to put something in your place. See, the Bible says that when you kick the old spirits out, they go wandering around. They come back and find the house empty. It comes back with more vengeance. That's such a picture of addiction. Because what happens is if you stop doing something, you've got to put something in its place. So we've got to begin thinking thoughts that are pleasing to God. And so when we do that, and so how can we do it? How can we do it? You know, how can we stop thinking about it? Well, one, I'm going to give you a word. It's the action step for this. This one is called detox. Write that down. You need to detox yourself. Remember when we fasted at the beginning of this year? We had people quit cigarettes. Some people quit drinking. Some people didn't eat certain foods for a while. Some people laid off TV or Facebook for a while. Man, can you go a week and detox from something? Or can you detox from it today? You know, detox from something. Detox. Whatever it is you struggle with, say, you know what? I can't quit this, but I can quit it for a week. I can stop today and not pick it up till next week. And then you do that. And you know what? It's just like when we fasted. People fasted social media. That a lot, and broke the control that had over you. Break the control, whatever it is you struggle with. Number two, thing we've got to realize first is that, you know, I belong to, or second is, my body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. You know, not only does God live in my body, my body belongs to God. Back to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, he said this, God bought you with a high price. God bought you with a high price. He said, don't you realize your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? He said, God bought you. I'm not my own. If you're a believer, you're not my own. Here's the thing. I hear people say, it's my body, I can do with it what I want to. And, you know, I can go have sex with whoever I want to. I can have abortions. I can do whatever's my body. It is not your body if you're a believer in Christ. Jesus bought your body back from destruction and death. And you belong to Him. And so I've got to ask the owner of my body if it's all right for me to go eat that second piece of pecan pie with ice cream on. Or whatever it is. God bought us with a high price. So we've got to get permission from God. Look what Paul says. Paul says this in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I want you to first know you might have messed up and you feel like scum and all that kind of stuff. God is a merciful God. Somebody say amen. God is a merciful God. I mean, God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. How do we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice? We did it just a little while ago when you're worshiping. You're giving yourself to God. When we raise our hand, we're surrendering to Christ. So write that down as your action step. Worship. That's what we need to do. I encourage you tomorrow morning, get that first 15 out, or whatever you do, and worship the Lord. You can do it quietly, or you can get up and dance around. I mean, you know, however you want to worship. Worship the Lord. You spend that time with God. You begin to worship. Number three, my body was made to honor God. We're talking about purpose here. 1 Corinthians, Paul finishes this up. He said, therefore, honor God with your bodies. He said, first, know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. Secondly, he said, you were bought with a price. In other words, my body's not mine. And thirdly, he said, honor God with your body. That means what I put in it, what I do with it, how I treat other people, I am to honor God. And he's talking about purpose here. I mean, these are things we can do, good deeds that we can do. And there's one of the secrets to getting our body under control is to realize our purpose. Paul said this, don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. He said, give yourselves completely to God. So we've done that. We worship Him. And he says this, use your whole body as an instrument to do what's right for the glory of God. That's what God wants us to do. So that action step word, because you haven't written it down yet, is purpose. We've got to be acting on purpose. Now I want to wrap this up. And I think of a guy named David. You may have heard of David. He was the second king of Israel, King David. He's a historical figure. He was a warrior king. He was a great king. God said he's a man after my own heart. Jesus, the Son of God, said David was a man after God's own heart. He's a great, great guy. He's the great, great, great grandfather of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is in his lineage, you know, and God often talks about David. And we've got the nation of Israel, which is descendants of David, you know. And so David's this great man, but yet he had some serious flaws, didn't he? He sinned with a lady named Bathsheba. And why did that sin happen? Because David wasn't doing what he was purposed to do. Look at this scripture on the screen. 2 Samuel 11:1. It said, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. David should have been out with the other kings waging war, but David stayed home. And if he had been out doing what he was supposed to do, leading his troops, he never would have seen Bathsheba bathing on the top of her roof. He He never would have sent his soldiers to go get her because he wanted her and said his king he could do that. You know, I mean, and he never would have sinned with her. But because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Anybody besides me ever got in trouble because you weren't doing what you were supposed to do? I used to tell young people all the time, if you'd have gone where you told your mama you were going, you'd have been all right, you know. And but David wasn't fulfilling his purpose. We have a purpose, and that's to honor God with our bodies. Now, what do we do when we get off track? We've all gotten off track, right? Look what the word says. We're going to close. 1 John 1:9 says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why don't you close your eyes, bow your heads, wherever you are. If you're driving, don't do that. I just want you and God. And maybe you're here today or listening today and you don't know about this Jesus stuff. You've never received Jesus. You're not sure if you got a car wreck right now because you closed your eyes while you're supposed to be watching where you're going, that you would go to heaven or not. I want you to know you can know. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that I prayed many years ago.